today on Real Radio.
When a husband and a wife have a rift and they don't settle it before bedtime, they wake up the next morning feeling, sensing a separation that's bigger than the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
Why? Because we are spiritually designed creatures.
Yeah.
God says to close up the rift before you go to bed, get it right.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series called Real Marriage. It's a series that takes a break from the norm to discuss the definition of marriage in an interview setting. God ordained marriage, so it's important to spend time on God's plan for coming together as one. Today, Pastor Jack, his wife Lisa, and myself, David Jay, we talk about forgiveness in a marriage. Now, marriage wasn't necessarily designed by God to make us happy, but to make us more like Christ. So without forgiveness, we're missing the whole point of Jesus' example when he exalted others before himself. And now here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Today we're going to talk about forgiveness in marriage. Boy, that's a big thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I have the most, I think, forgiving wife on the planet. I just have to say, I'm sorry, and it's over.
Oh, that's
it's
great.
Done. That's wonderful, for me especially. A lot of folks don't have that. Can you talk to us about, Pastor Jack, just first off, can you talk to us about the importance of forgiveness in a marriage?
I think it's absolutely essential because in marriage, there's going to be a ton of mistakes. And marriage is something that God engineered to make us more like Jesus. So in that, I mean, he's invented it to make us more holy. Somebody might say, well, marriage is to make me happy. If you're going into marriage to think that it's going to make you happy, I think you don't have the right understanding. It's to make you holy. Because we are people who struggle with that. We are people who struggle with exalting the other over ourselves. And we'll make mistakes. And you mentioned how for you, you know, Vicky's the most forgiving person, but Lisa's the most forgiving person.
Ah.
So what am I saying? It's very personal, isn't it? For you, the environment is Vicky's the most. Well, for me, the environment for me is Lisa's the most. That's the way it should be.
Yeah.
And without forgiveness, I think we're missing what Jesus has done for us. I want to believe that I forgive people easily because I'm instantly faced with what Christ has forgiven me of. So how dare I withhold forgiveness? I thank God he doesn't withhold forgiveness from me, so I need to extend it.
Do you find Jack to be as forgiving as you are?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yes.
Does he make it easy?
Now, he just said about me, but I would say, you know, I'm sure I could be much more forgiving. I think when forgiveness comes into difficult areas is when we feel justified in a pain or something. Mm-hmm. Someone hurt you. And maybe they didn't say they were sorry, yet time goes on, you still gotta forgive. You can't live in that bitterness because it will get really ugly. That's why Hebrews says, don't let a root of bitterness grow. And that root may start up very tiny, but over days, weeks, months, years, that thing's gonna be massive. Yeah. And it's not the one time, it might be the second. And it's why when Peter asked Jesus, how many times do I forgive somebody? Seven, right? Seven is a good number. You know, even seven seems liberal, and yet, no, 70 times seven. So over and over and over, because we are imperfect people, we are gonna
infinitely
hurt each other.
Yeah.
Ephesians 4:26 talks about being, I've got it right here. I can
being angry and sin not.
Yeah, exactly, be angry and sin not. Now, I came from a family that forgiveness was long suffering. There was a long time between offense and forgiveness. And now my family, my wife and I, forgiveness is that fast. Sometimes it doesn't make sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing because if somebody, let's say we're speaking right now to a non-believer, one of the things that should cause them to consider becoming a believer is the spiritual reality. When a husband and a wife have a rift and they don't settle it before bedtime, they wake up the next morning feeling, sensing a separation that's bigger than the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
Why? Because we are spiritually designed creatures.
Yeah.
God says to close up the rift, settle that situation, settle the argument before the sun goes down, meaning before you go to bed, get it right. And we all need to work on that. Lisa and I wish I could say we do that as often as we should do that, mm-hmm. but we don't. The reason why, like many people, we're stretched, we're burning the candle, as it were, at both ends with busyness. But it is essential to maintain that relationship of forgiveness and the atmosphere of grace and mercy by settling that situation before the sun goes down. Be angry and sin not. Understand together that there's a world out there trying to separate your marriage. Unite and get it settled before bed.
And I always like to go back to our relationship with the Lord. In 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful yeah. and just. Confession, boom, forgiveness. Amazing, isn't it? So keeping a short account with the Lord keeps us from being separated from him, as so does keeping a short account with one another keeps that separation from growing. When, you know, if people are not speaking to each other for weeks or months, it's just so tense and ugly. Keeping short accounts, you mess up, apologize. You were angry or you just said something flippantly, apologize quickly. But we let pride enter, yeah. and it's so distracting.
Yeah. Keep it a short account. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's kind of a neat phrase. I've got a question that came in from one of our viewers. My spouse wants to walk away from conflict, saying that she needs to cool off first. I'd rather just talk it out. Is this okay to have a cooling off period, or how? And if so, how long should that cooling off period be?
I think that's a great question. And interesting. Listen to the one who's asking it. The person that has to cool off is not the one asking the question. This is key. Because for me, for example, I'm like the one that's being referenced here. I need to gather my collect myself. Mm. Where Lisa, isn't this amazing? Think about it, how God puts opposites together. Mm-hmm. I need to go take a walk around the block before I engage the situation. I need to manage myself that way. That's the way I'm wired. I have a tendency to be like Peter, pick up the rifle, you know, hold it up, shoot, and then aim. Well, Lisa wants to talk it out, but I've got to get into that place of talking it out. So I relate to this question. It's best for me to come back to her in a half an hour.
Okay.
So I can just collect myself. There's a cooling off thing for me where I come back to the self that I should be.
Is that stuff that you've learned being married?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's respecting each other's differences, too, that I'm not like that. I could sit down and, you know, just talk, no problem. But respecting the fact that he needs that time. Now, the second part of that question was how long?
Yeah, how long cooling
that
off?
That time should not be...
But before the sun sets.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
fair
honestly.
Enough.
Yeah, depends on, yeah, and if that was a morning, then if you need all day to cool off, then make sure you're arguing in the morning.
And you know, we say before the sun sets, but listen, I remember early on in our marriage, we would not go to sleep until it was remedied. And that could be 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. We wouldn't go to sleep until it was done.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Do you find that to be the case today? Or maybe
well,
not.
I mean,
we're old and we get tired.
what's nice now after being married over 35 years, it's
you
like,
it
hey, let's look, we've been here before.
Yeah.
We know how this is going to go. Let's figure this out and, you know, let's get to bed. So,
and you may not have the problem answered, but rectify the anger situation.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it really does give place for the enemy. That's not just a little phrase that's just kind of coined to be cute or whatever. No, it really does, because he'll wedge whatever he can. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like your front door. If you bad guy's on the outside of the door and you crack the door open and now he gets his foot in the door, there's a good chance he's going to get in the house.
Yeah,
don't even give that opportunity for the foot to get in the door. And it's same thing with the enemy.
Well, and you look at the fallacy of what's human nature to, as we say, sweep it under the carpet.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that 3, 4, 5 times, but after a while, a lump will form, a bump, meaning it's going to come out. The stuff that you've been hiding, well, we don't talk about that. It will come out, and when it does, it will be explosive, highly charged, very emotional. It's going to be much harder to fix that situation because this tension is built up over time. It's really hard. It makes it much more harder than it should be.
How does a spouse, speaking of tension and buildup, how does a spouse let go of hurts that have been festering for years, being unresolved?
Wow.
That's a tough question.
Yeah, I mean, this sounds very glib to say, but it's true. You got to take it to the Lord because it's outside your human capacity. At least it is mine, where Lord, I need your help to deal with this thing.
So. And especially, well, I wouldn't say especially, but if you've tried to communicate and you can't resolve that, or they're not hearing you, that's exactly the only answer you're left with.
Yeah.
And it can be a great answer, because it may be an unjust situation or something that was said, done to you. But if you can turn that over to the Lord and let Him deal with it in His timing, I mean, there's great peace that comes with that. It's not easy, but God will bless that obedience.
You say it's not easy. When I watch my wife forgive me, for instance, for her, it's very easy. For me, I'm a little more emotional, a little more right-brained. There's got to be a lot more to this. And when the bottom line is, no, there really isn't. Make it easy.
Yeah, yeah.
I think for me, I'm probably more like Vicki is toward you.
Uh-huh.
And again, I think it's because of just the consciousness of what God has forgiven me of.
Yeah.
I mean, how can I withhold?
Right.
My emotions now might say, don't give her the satisfaction of knowing that you're going to forgive her. And yet the Lord says, have I not forgiven you? You therefore forgive one another as I have forgiven you. Mm-hmm. So I'm bound by my relationship with Jesus to make the right decision. My emotions may say something different. See, a lot of us without a biblical foundation, our emotions will drive the day.
Yeah, and get the best of you.
But I've got to bring my emotions under the dictates of God's word and make a decision from the vantage point of the word.
If there's too many verses in the word that command us to be forgiving, to be tenderhearted, to be merciful, to be kind, over and over again, we're commanded to do that. So it's not always going to be easy to do that. But going back to the emotion, you're not going to feel like it, but you do it because it is a command. Because He will bless when you obey Him. There's such a reward to that, a peace that comes, that maybe the just wasn't done and, you know, everything's not perfectly lined up. That, it's not reality. I think we think it should be in our heads, but it's not reality. It's not how you live peacefully. In Romans, it says to live peaceably with all men as is possible. Well, the best way sometimes as is possible is that you forgive. And you just got to let it go.
Yeah. What about this? Is there ever a time when it's okay to say, I'm sorry, even when you know you weren't at fault? Just to make peace? Just, I'm sorry.
No, I mean, I don't think so. I think that's a little bit of the sweeping thing. Because if it's built on, well, I'll just say anything to have appeasement.
Yeah.
You're
yeah,
still sweeping it under the carpet.
Okay.
Why? Because there's no resolution there. There's no spiritual healing to it.
Yeah, and you may kind of enable somebody. If that one person is more compliant than the other one, and the other one's just always being a stinker, but then the compliant one is the one always apologizing, we're also commanded to walk in truth, walk in love. Yeah. And in order to walk in truth, we have to be honestly speaking truth. And if I'm always apologizing for something that isn't really, I didn't do anything, it's kind of enabling my spouse to continue in bad behaviors because they think, oh, yeah, they're owed it. And they're entitled to this apology all the time. So it's not a healthy relationship.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I think eventually the insincerity of it will come out.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
What about a person who doesn't want to forgive? I mean, really doesn't want to forgive. What would you say to that person, how to go about having God change their heart?
It's huge. It's a very big, common problem in marriage and relationships because we get this concept in our mind where this person really hurt me. It's justifiable hurt. Let's say, David, you really hurt me, and I respond by not giving you the satisfaction of me saying, I forgive you. Hmm. We have, and I think, I don't know if this is a Western culture problem, if it's biblical ignorance, I don't know. But I think we've come to the place of thinking where I'm not going to give you the satisfaction of me forgiving you, thinking that I'm somehow gifting you with forgiveness. When the exact opposite, God gave me the ability and the liberty to forgive you, to set me free from what you did to me. We miss that. Mm. So what? When we don't handle that right, you hurt me, I'm not going to forgive you. Who suffers?
Yeah.
I will suffer. God gave me the ability to forgive you, to set me free from what you did to me. This is critical.
Wow. So I've got a real practical question for you guys, as I'm sure you've done a bunch of counseling in your pastoral duties. What is the biggest course of action to take when a spouse will not forgive the other for an offense? It's a good question, isn't
it? Yeah. It is. You want to go first?
Go ahead.
The Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. Right. So I would suggest, I would say that God's mandate to me, mm-hmm. the offended one, mm-hmm. is to live out and ask for God's power through His Holy Spirit, because I believe it's impossible without Him, mm-hmm. to do everything to create an environment of love. Love covers a multitude of sin. The Bible also says that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. If you take the humble route in love, God will honor that choice of obedience that you're doing, and He will begin to rectify the heart of your spouse, which at this time is your opponent. Hmm. He will actually begin to disarm their emotions. He'll begin to disarm their aggression upon you, or bad, whatever it is. And so how do you win that situation? Love. Love will conquer that.
Have you ever run into a situation, maybe people that you know, where that's the case? One says, I'm just not going to forgive. I'm not going to forgive my wife. I'm not going to forgive my husband.
Of course you see that. You see it all the time. And sometimes you see it like in restaurants where the husband and wife are sitting there eating. You see the coldness. There's no communication.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no life.
Yeah.
It happens all the time. People just build up a wall. And
would you say that could end in disaster?
It does end in disaster.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Most of the time.
It's very sad.
So here's a good question. Is there a difference between saying, I'm sorry, and asking for forgiveness? It's a good question.
I grew up having to say I was sorry.
Yeah.
Which is important, okay, as a child. But I didn't learn the healthy aspects of asking for forgiveness and, having to confess what I did wrong. Mm. So the sorry was there, the apology was there. So when my kids were young, I thought that's what you did. So I started teaching them to go say you're sorry. And one would say to the other, sorry. You know, just this attitude, sorry, you know.
Mom told me I had to.
Exactly, and it's wrong. Okay, so what? Sorry.
Yeah.
So the token, word. But as time went on, I really, wait, there's got to be a better way than that. That doesn't seem real healthy, and it doesn't seem heartfelt. So when, I go before the Lord, and I think that was part of it was between me and the Lord, was I can't just go to God and say, sorry, what is that?
I
always like to take things back to between me and the Lord. Mm-hmm. I need to confess my sin. If I go to bed every night and I just say, Lord, forgive me for this day, whatever I did.
Yeah.
Okay, I could go to you. I could offend you as
I'm sorry if
the
I offended
wife.
You.
Yeah, if I offended you, I'm sorry if I did something. You know, it's like, okay, what is that?
But being specific,
and I've even prayed and asked the Lord, specifics, Lord, show me. Because sometimes we cover it, we justify it, we can't even see it anymore. And asking the Lord to reveal some specifics, and then I can confess to Him, and then I can go confess to that other person. Not just confess it, but now ask them to forgive me, which is the part B, because mm-hmm. I think that's important that they now voice that, yes, I forgive you.
Yeah.
That's huge. Those are mature steps.
There can't be forgiveness when someone says, as Lisa just said, if I've done anything to offend you, I'm sorry. That's impossible.
Yeah.
That is absolutely worthless, because you've got to come with the specifics that she's talking about, where I'm sorry that I hurt you in this, and you define that. Mm-hmm. Why? Because before the word sorry come out of your mouth, I think that's required is that there's repentance of it. This is where I hurt you. I think we go tell your brother you're sorry. No, stop at that and say, what did you do to your sister? I pulled her hair. Should you have done that? No. Would Jesus pull your hair? No. What do you think you should do about this? Tell her I'm sorry. See, give them the understanding.
Yeah.
So that they can repent of it and then go and say, sister, I'm sorry I pulled your hair like that. I shouldn't have done that.
But then as a married couple, they need to model
Right.
If you're talking about kids, but just modeling that behavior and teaching them, because then they're going to grow up to be adults and they're going to be married someday, to have that right standing and understanding how to communicate effectively and personally.
And I want to add this. It's like somebody saying, I'm sorry if I hurt you, but if you wouldn't have said this or that, it never would have happened.
Right.
Listen, when someone is really sorry and repentful for what has transpired, they will come to the reconciliation moment without requirements. When someone's repentful, there's none of this, I'm sorry, but if you wouldn't have, or I'm sorry, now let's just forget everything. No, listen, I'm sorry, I submit myself to you, I come to you in repentance, and I have no demands. Yeah. When true repentance is there, there's no demands by the offender. Mm.
Interesting, because I think obviously we want to learn as husband and wife. So maybe putting some distance between I'm sorry, please forgive me, and oh, by the way, next time this comes up, you know, if we can change this, then I won't.
Well, when we confess our sin to the Lord too, it's we're seeking forgiveness ultimately.
Yeah.
It's not just confessing something.
Yeah.
We are seeking forgiveness. So shouldn't we be doing the same thing? Is that you're coming with that humble heart, confessing in order to receive forgiveness.
I love the way I love the way David talked about sinning. When he sinned, he realized that he sinned against God.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Always first.
Huge. Yeah, he sinned against God, and that was his
If we don't get that, then we're not going to get this.
You can't go make up with anybody unless you first. Now, look, I know Jesus said if you are at a rift with someone, go settle that before you come. The context, I believe, is worship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
David, of course, says, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Well, that's not exactly true from the human view.
Okay.
He had killed Uriah, Bathsheba's husband. He had had sex with Bathsheba. He's a mess. But he realized this whole thing, I've sinned against God first. That's how I got into this mess. So Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I have sinned. And then you've got now the freedom to go and say without preconditions, Bathsheba, please forgive me for what I've done to this kingdom and for this relationship.
So we have 30 seconds left before we have to go. But can you expound just a little bit before we leave once again about that whole theory of don't let the sun go down on your anger as a married couple?
Yeah, because we are spiritually bound, you don't want to give any place to the devil. He will come in and wage a war of the wedge. He'll separate you. You want to cut him off at the entrance so you make up with one another quickly. If you can do it before the sun goes down, even the better. Because when you wake up in the morning, you'll spiritually be miles apart. It makes it 10 times harder to reconcile. So I encourage couples to fight for the creation of the forgiving environment.
So Pastor Jack, in Colossians, verse 3:12 talks about the fact that you have to forgive.
Yeah.
Let's wrap up the program with that thought.
Paul said it to the church at Colossae. He said, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. It is a key. Listen, our relationship with God, it's based upon the fact that He forgives our sins. And He does that theologically based upon the cross of Christ. How does God forgive sin? By the cross. God's issuance of forgiveness is based upon the sacrifice of Jesus. We go to Jesus asking forgiveness because He went to the cross. That is key. If you've never done that, you need to do that. You need to, first of all, get your relationship right with God and go to Him. Confess your sins to Him, asking Him to forgive you. And then He will give you the heart, the power to forgive others. Maybe it's your own spouse is where it all begins.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Intimacy in Marriage. Thanks for listening to today's segment. Love is not a feeling, but a choice. And our hope is that God's sacrificial love for us causes you to consider God's definition of marriage. Today's interview was just one in a series called Real Marriage, a series that looks at how God has a plan for marriage and how His plan works. And we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Did you know that you can get the entire DVD set of the Real Marriage series for a gift of any amount to this ministry? The Real Marriage DVD set is a collection of discussion-based programs to help provide a solid foundation for a healthy, God-honoring marriage. Get yours today by getting a hold of us through our website. Here's the web address, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.